light shineth, the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight.
Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to the service on the fourth Sunday in Advent, this time of getting ready to welcome Jesus and celebrate his birthday in just 4 days. Are you ready? If you're new to worship with us, we are delighted to have you join us, and we really hope that you will drop us a line by going to the Let's Connect card on the homepage of our website. We have our final Advent narrative reading again this week, and we find ourselves in Bethlehem meeting the Bethel Inn staff, who are really hustling. Like hotels everywhere, when there's a large event, like a census going on, they find themselves overbooked and short-staffed. Like any responsible employer during pandemic times, they're having their staff meeting via first century Zoom. Let's take a look.
The Bethel Inn. Because of the census, which required every man to take his family to his birthplace, Joseph took Mary to Bethlehem, a small town, which could not cope with all its exiles now returning. We find ourselves at the Bethel Inn staff meeting on a very busy night.
Okay, I'm going to call this Zoom staff meeting to order. And I got to say, this is, I think, the busiest and the shortest staffed we've ever been. Miriam, how many folk do you have cleaning the hotel?
Just myself.
Well, how come? Where's Jeremiah?
Well, he had to go to Cana.
Well, what about Martha?
Well, she had to go with her husband to register Capernaum.
So you're making all the beds yourself?
I am making all the beds, and I hope I never see another set of sheets again in my life.
Okay, Larry, how's the kitchen?
Well, the kitchen is going along pretty good, but we keep getting asked for some really funny food.
Like what?
Well, there's a couple from Syria. They want kebabs for breakfast. And then there's the old man from the Jordan Valley. He wants locusts and honey for breakfast.
Okay. So what do you do?
Well, I pretend I don't hear them, and I just give them porridge.
Excuse me. Are we fully booked?
Oh, absolutely, Deborah. Standing room only. Why do you ask?
Well, it's just that we've got a couple at the door who are desperate for somewhere to stay, and I don't have the heart to turn them away.
Well, I'll tell them.
But the woman's pregnant. She looks as if she could have the baby at any time.
But Deborah, we're fully booked.
But surely there's somewhere we can put them.
Where?
If you have an Advent candle display at home, please join me in lighting the candles on the Advent wreath. Even if you don't, let's join together in the liturgy. On the first Sunday of Advent, we lit the candle of hope. And on the second week, we lit the candle of peace. And last week, we lit the candle of joy. Today, we light the candle of love. Let us pray. Jesus, you are the light that was, is, and evermore shall be. We say, come, Lord Jesus, come to our hearts and fill us with the joy that comes from being fully known and loved by you. Let's pray together the call to worship. Heavenly Father, the whole meaning of Christmas can be explained in one four-letter word, love. You sent your gift of pure love to us that first Christmas. Love descended from heaven to be born of a virgin. Love lay in the scratchy hay of a manger in a meager barn in Bethlehem. All of your love, God, was robed in the delicate skin of a baby and wrapped in swaddling clothes. This final week of Advent helps us to reflect on the magnitude of love that was made manifest in Jesus. Generous God, in this final week of Advent, fill our hearts and minds with a real sense of your gift of perfect love. We thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to send Jesus. We come now to worship him. Each week, we pray a prayer of confession together, seeking God's forgiveness of the things we do that cause division in our relationship with him, and to acknowledge that we cannot heal that breach without his heavenly mercy and grace. Would you pray with me? O holy God of promise, so often we place our trust in the things we can see and touch and easily believe. But you did not ask us to believe what is easy. You have asked us to believe what is true. Forgive us when we doubt the ways you work. Forgive us when we find it hard to believe an ancient story. Forgive us when we question how you chose to enter the world, born as one of us. Help us to look in faith, open our belief, and set aside our doubts that you sent your Son, born of a virgin, the one who has come to set us all free. We offer these prayers in the name of your Son, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
Friends, even now, in these very moments, God comes to us, bringing hope, bringing forgiveness, bringing grace, all as freely offered gifts to us. So may we open our hearts to God in this moment and to these gifts he is offering each of us, to his love. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen. Our scripture reading for today is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And it tells the story of Gabriel's visit to Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of God. We hope you have been enjoying our Advent services. And I especially want to thank those who helped to create this scene that has been such a beautiful backdrop for our worship through these weeks. It has helped to add a special touch of beauty to our services. And as I was reminded a couple of weeks ago, creative beauty is very much a part of our life with God. You've probably noticed the four Advent themes tucked within the scene of hope, peace, joy, and love. Each of these are vital things Jesus was bringing into the world with his arrival. And this week, on the fourth Sunday of Advent, we turn our focus to the capstone of them all, to love. In Christian faith and practice, we look to Jesus as our example for love. We believe that he was the living embodiment of and fullest expression of what love is meant to be. In essence, he defined love in and through his life. So you would think that as we turn our focus to love this week, we would do so with a reading that has Jesus front and center. But we don't, do we? He's there, but more in a yet-to-come-on-the-scene kind of a way. The passage includes some huge assertions about who Jesus is, that he is the Son of the Most High who will sit on the throne of King David. And these are stunning statements with far-reaching political and theological implications. But even so, the primary, or perhaps I should say the most immediate main character in this reading, the character who is at the midst of the action, is not Jesus, but rather the very young woman who was being called to carry him and bring him into this world, his mother, Mary. We've heard about this miraculous visit Mary received from the angel Gabriel. As angels do, Gabriel brought Mary a message from God. He began by assuring her of God's grace and presence with her, which was a smart move, I think, particularly in light of what was about to follow in his message. He told her God's plan for her, that she would bear a child, a son who would be both the king Israel had been waiting for since the days of King David, and somehow also the Son of God. Of course, Mary was puzzled and troubled by this shocking news. First of all, she wasn't married yet, and technically it would have been impossible for her to be pregnant at this point. And second, that fact actually meant that it would also be very dangerous if she were to become pregnant. Unmarried women who found themselves expecting a child in that time and place were generally not treated very well. Gabriel explained how all of this could come about through the miraculous intervention of the third person of God, the Holy Spirit. But it is important to note that in his visit with Mary, Gabriel never resolved the problem of the danger she might end up facing. Well, despite the possibility that this whole plan could end up costing her her life, Mary accepted her calling. This is an incredible scene. It is an angelic visitation. It has prophetic words from God promising who Jesus would be and what he would do. And yet, even with those spectacular, miraculous events, what actually stands out most in this whole episode is Mary's strength of character. She is very young, maybe only 13. Some might say she was far too young to face all that God was calling her to. But you know, if we tend to think that, hindsight shows us that we're not right. Because God knew what he was doing. God knew Mary's character. And God knew her faith. We get to see them too in her response. She says, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Such humility and faith, faithful obedience and trust of God. This is why many in the Christian church look to Mary as an example, a model for us as we try to follow Jesus. There is so much that we can learn from her, but it is her example of obedience that I want us to focus on for a bit today. Now, I suspect that maybe even in just saying that word, obedience, I may have raised some people's hackles a bit. It is a loaded word for us. And frankly, it's a tough sell in today's world, particularly in our culture. You tell me that I should be obedient, and I can feel it. I just instinctively find myself digging my heels into the floor, pushing back in the opposite direction, and preparing myself for a fight. Obedience is a word that we tend to associate with power, and particularly the kind of power that someone lords over us. Because of this, we can tend to think of obedience as an inherently bad concept, and something we should resist, something that runs completely counter to our freedom. Well, now that I have said all of that, I'm going to go out on a limb here and ask you to try for just the next few moments to set those feelings and those reactions aside. Pretend with me for just a moment, if you will, that you've never heard the word obedience before and that you have no idea what it means. I say this because a number of years ago, I came across another understanding of what obedience means, and particularly what it means when we encounter the notion of obedience in the words of Scripture. I have heard it said that obedience is better thought of as loving listening. By this, I mean listening because we trust that the person we are listening to actually loves us and wants only good things for us. Because we know this is true, we know that we can trust that the things that they are saying, the guidance they are giving us, is good and right. And so we listen because we know they love us and because we love them. I really think that in the contexts We find it in Scripture. This idea of loving listening is a better understanding of what we mean by obedience. In Scripture, it actually doesn't have anything to do with power or domination. Quite the opposite. It is an expression of love, freely made in the context of a relationship of love. Now, arguably, next to Jesus himself, Mary may actually be the best example we have of how this loving listening actually works. God's love for Mary is tangible. God sent Gabriel to assure Mary that God was with her, that she was favored, and that she would have all the grace she needed to live out the call God was giving her. And remember that that is what this was. It was a call. It was not a command. God calls her, but doesn't coerce her in any way. He's clear about what he's asking her to do and about who her son will be and how all of this will come about. God lays it all out and then waits, leaving space and time for Mary to think and then to answer. The fact that God does all of that would seem to indicate that Mary was actually free to say no. And I know that sounds inconceivable to us because she didn't, but it is reasonable to consider that she could have. She could have made her own choice not to do all of this. Which actually brings me to the second part of that description of loving listening that I shared with you. Remember, the first part was listening because we trust that the one we are choosing to listen to and obey loves us. The second part is that we listen because we love them. So our obedience is actually a way that we can return the love God is already showing us. Mary trusted God, and I suspect that she realized pretty quickly that God was trusting her to carry, give birth to, and raise his son. And so her yes shows both her trust of God and her love for God. Far from any sense of domination or overbearing power, her example of obedience is a beautiful outcome of the loving relationship that existed between Mary and her God. One of the commentators I read this week put it beautifully. Writing about this passage we have read together today, she said, "On the Sunday before Christmas, people are in the mood for miracles. This is a story of a miracle, a miraculous birth. But a birth that is made possible by the miracle of a young girl trusting in the God whose love she knew and returned." Friends, our loving listening to God is a miracle too, friends. A miracle that is as beautiful an expression of our love for God as Mary's yes was so long ago. Amen.
Good morning, St. Stephen's. Please join me in these, the prayers of the people. Father God, in the hushed anticipation of your coming, O Lord, remind us that you are always with us, that like Joseph, we might always be eager to fulfill your will and be eager to pray. O God, in the days to come, the mountain of your house will be established and your joy shall reign. We pray for the church worldwide, and especially for all of our church family here at St. Stephen's, that you might teach us your ways and that we might walk in your paths. Come, Lord Jesus, and hear our prayer. Out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and you, O God, shall judge between the nations. We pray for our nation and all nations, that your peace will be manifest in every corner of the earth. Come, Lord Jesus, and hear our prayer. In your kingdom, O Lord, wolves lie down with lambs and children play with serpents without fear. We pray for the sick, the suffering, and those in distress of any kind, especially for the suffering and impact from COVID-19, that you would heal all injuries, comfort all grief, and settle all wrongs. Come, Lord Jesus, and hear our prayer. In your kingdom, O Lord, even the wilderness and dry land are glad and rejoice. We pray for those who rejoice this week as they celebrate their moments and memories of joy, happiness, and thanksgiving, that they may obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing might flee away. Come, Lord Jesus, and hear our prayer. In the fullness of time, O God, you sent your Son to be born of our sister Mary, and his name was Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you for your presence with us, and we pray that you might always present with those whom we love but see no longer. Come, Lord Jesus, and hear our prayer. O Christ, hear our prayers, restore us, and show us the glorious light of your countenance that we might be saved. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please join me in the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, once again, we thank you for your faithful giving to our work here at St. Stephen's. Would you join me in a prayer over these gifts you've given? Giving God, we thank you for all of your gifts to us. We know that you are the source of every good thing, that you have created us, and that you continue to breathe life into us through the power of your Holy Spirit. You have given us so much, and so now it is our joy to give and to dedicate these gifts to the work of your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have just two announcements before we conclude the service. The first is about Christmas Eve. It is happening this year, although in a different way, as we've said. At 12:01 on Christmas Eve, we will launch on our church website and YouTube a Christmas Eve service we have been producing for you. We hope you will watch that and enjoy it, and we hope that it will help you to find your way to the manger once again. You will also have received an emailed invitation that makes it easy for you to share this service with friends or family members who may not be able to participate in worship themselves this year, but may like to in some way. So we've designed it to make it easy for you to share that with others if you'd like. My second announcement is that, as is our tradition, we will be closing the church office between Christmas and New Year's. If there are any emergencies, you can always reach me at home or via email. And if you need to leave a message in the church office, you can do so on the message machine, and we will check those periodically. You should also look in your announcements for any instructions of special ways this year to handle an offering you may be wanting to make at the year end. Friends, may starlight guide you to this place of wonder. May angels sing their news as you travel to the manger. And may promise fill these days as we watch at the edge of birth. May faith tell you that Emmanuel will be with us soon, God with human skin. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.